at In Here Just. What do we say? I can't remember what we say. Welcome back.
Sorry, I was going to help you.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to try something.
Here we go.
This is terrible. Starting this over.
The podcasting.
Lost my train of thought completely because Nathan almost fell off his chair.
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Welcome back to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Thanks for listening this week. We got a great show lined up for you. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Nathan Henderson.
And I'm Travis Thompson. What are we talking about, Nate?
Today we're talking about tech in the outdoors.
That's right. One of our favorite subjects.
Yep.
Especially apps in this gadgets. Day and age.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody's got an app they like or a new gadget they like and kind of what they're using to help them catch more fish and kill more animals.
It's hard to imagine like the world we live in today as compared to 15 years ago. I mean, we broke this show up into two segments. We're going to start off talking about apps. Like each of us, I think, picked four or five apps that we really like.
Yep.
And then each of us picked four or five gadgets that we really like. And obviously, we're going to miss some and probably miss some obvious ones. But it's interesting to look at where we're at in this day and age and say, 15 years ago, you didn't have a smartphone in your pocket.
Right.
You know,
yep.
I'm not going to make an in your pocket joke right here. Don't let that sail on fast. Is that inappropriate? But let's talk about the apps that we love that we've got loaded on our phones, how we like them, how we like to use them. You go first, Nate. What do you got?
All right. My first one is the Tidegraph app.
Love it.
And it's basically you can pick anywhere in the world and get the tides for.
That's false.
Any day.
You cannot pick the tides for Denver, Colorado.
Okay. Well, Jesus.
But I get what you're saying. You could do it for anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world that has the ocean attached to it.
There you go.
In one form or fashion or another.
That's fair.
If we're going to get technical about
it. That's fair.
So, and you can pick, if you've got a fishing trip coming up in 6 months, you can type in the date for that and it'll show you the tides for that day.
I'm a fan of that app. I've used it before and it is dead on accurate.
Yeah, it's very, very accurate.
A hurricane like we recently had.
Yeah, you know, those hurricanes, pesky hurricanes.
Yeah, they'll cause you some 6 to 12 foot fluctuations in your tide charts.
Yeah, you'll have snook under your house.
That's not necessarily a deal breaker if you can sight cast for redfish in the front yard, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So my first pick was also a tide app. It's called Rise.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called Rise Tides and Moon Phases or something. I think you use it too.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. It's a really clean looking app.
Yeah,
it's nice. I like the interface better than I do Tidegraph. And I like it because it has the Solinter. I call it the Solinter table for dummies. Because okay. You know the Solinter table is like in the back of Florida Sportsman. I'm 40 years old and I still don't understand those things.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like I look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to be a good day to hunt. And I only know that because it's like gray and the rest of it's white.
Right.
Anyway, this has the Solinter table for dummies, and it tells you if it's 4 stars, 5 stars, 3 stars, whatever. And yep. Not like it matters. If you hunt and fish as much as we do, you're going hunting fishing the stars. But
go when you can.
You go when you can go. But I still like it. It makes me feel good when I get out there and it's like, oh, yeah, this
oh,
is five
yeah,
stars.
This is like the day.
Yeah, we're gonna pound it down. So what do you got next?
My next one is the hunting calendar app. Okay. And it's kind of along the same lines as like the Solinter.
I don't know this app.
So you can go on there and you can pick your location. You pick whatever day you're going to be using, and it tells you how effective the hunting will be that day.
Oh, so that's big time.
It talks about moon phases and
peak feeds,
peak feeding times,
which usually coincides with like moonrise and moonset.
Yeah, it's got the sunrise and sunset and the moonrise and moonset. Pretty clean looking app. I mean, and it's got you know, you can actually take notes on locations and different things like that. It's pretty clean looking.
Do you keep really a hunting log? Just curious.
You know, I don't, and I should. I think this year I might start doing that just to check, you know, what the moon phase is that day and how well we did, and if it even makes a difference.
I don't chart every fishing trip, but I chart every hunt. I shouldn't tell you this, but it's in an Excel spreadsheet on my desktop labeled 2013 taxes.
I'm going to learn how to hack.
Yeah. That is like the most important thing. Like I've backed that file up all over the place. I've emailed it to different places. Like I've got it hidden everywhere because it's like, that's like the gold standard for me.
Well, now you got to change the title of the Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, I probably should have just said that to all our listeners. But I mean, I track it down species, quantity, what any notes or odd things
temperature,
that I noticed.
Wind, yeah. All that stuff.
Yep. Cold front came through. Cold front didn't come through. Stalled
yeah,
out.
Smart.
All that stuff.
I think I'm going to start doing that too.
So I'd love to have an app that does that. I don't have one.
Yeah.
I may look into the hunting calendar to see if it would fit some of that.
It would be. There's got to be one out there for that.
Yeah.
You'd think.
Hey, listeners, if you guys know of an app that would do that for me, let me know. Beyond my Excel spreadsheet skills, which are, let's be honest, they're mad skills.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
My second choice is the Navionics app. Do you have this one?
I do have this one. I played around with it some.
It's not a replacement for a chart plotter. It's not a replacement for a fish finder, but it for basic navigation, particularly our fishing, a lot of it's inshore stuff. It's a great little tool to have on the boat. It's great for tracking where you want to go and how to get there. And
it's also good for like pre-scouting.
Yes.
Like if you've gone into a new spot and you don't know how to get back in there, you don't know where the deep spots are. It's great to kind of scout that out a little bit beforehand. That way you kind of have an idea before you get in.
Yeah, it's got the mean lower low water depths on it, and they're built in, which I use. Instead of mean lower low water, I use the lower unit of my motor to determine
how much mud you're kicking up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else you got?
All right, my next one is Google Earth.
Same idea.
Yeah, same
without
idea.
Without the depths,
right.
But with satellite imagery.
But you can, kind of tell the depths a little bit with the satellite imagery.
Definitely find holes.
Holes and little, cuts and channels in the shallower water. I use this for hunting too, scouting lakes for ducks or a new spot for like a deer hunt. Or even if I end up going out west sometimes, I'll use that a lot for that.
Do some terrain studies.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a great tool to have. And really any of the maps, different ones like Bing and MapQuest.
The one in your Apple iPhone or iPad.
Your Apple Maps. And they all have different
Satellite imagery.
So if you can't see one particular area on one, go to the other one and see if you can see it.
Yeah, for a long time, Bull Bay down in Charlotte Harbor where we fish a lot had a really high shine on the Google Maps, the Google Earth Maps.
Yeah, it was hard to
drove me bananas because there was a hole that I was trying to pinpoint the edges of, and I was doing it for my desk at the office.
It was glaring in your eye.
While I was working. I mean, obviously, I did that after work.
I don't know of anybody who doesn't do stuff like that while they work.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
But now, Google Earth has really changed the game. It's a blessing and a curse, though. For guys like us, we love it because we can use it to add on to what we know. But it also has really opened up the door for some folks that maybe, you'll back me up on this. 20, 25 years ago, not everyone knew the back way to Bull Bay or Turtle Bay or Charlotte Harbor.
Right.
Now there's a lot more folks running that route because technology's made it easier for them to get there.
Right. You can see it.
So, all right. My next app is, I wanted to throw a weather one on here.
Okay.
And beyond just the built-in weather app on an iPhone.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I went with My Radar Pro. Now, this is it's an expensive app. Like I want to say it's like $5 or $10 or something. This thing's incredible. It has a wind overlay that shows the wind direction with almost like currents.
Mm-hmm.
So I use it as much for duck hunting as I do for fishing.
Setting up, make sure the wind's
because
back,
I can make sure I got the wind where I want it to be. I can see how it's going to affect a point. But it's a really, I mean, they're all getting NOAA weather, right? They're all based off the same. So it's not going to be any more accurate than any other weather app. But also, like it, you can do overlays or layers, and you can do a hurricane overlay. So, like when we had Irma a few weeks back,
mm-hmm.
we were able to use that app to track it and see
and
things.
Watch it slam us right in the mouth.
Yeah, but we were able to see the track at the 5 o'clock update or the 11 o'clock update.
Right.
Like it came in right when it was supposed to. So, people ask me about a weather app or a wind app. That's the app I use most. I've got Windfinder and some of those others, but that's the app that I kind of go to.
Yeah, awesome.
So what do you got next?
All right, my next one is the FWC Fish and Hunt app.
This is a great app.
I love this app. Because
in fact, this was on my list. You stole this from
me.
Yeah,
well, that's what I do. So
you're like an app looter.
I'm an app looter. Right. So this app, you can go on there and you can input, you can put your license in there. So you always have your license on you. It's always good to get a hard copy too.
Yep.
You know, but you can have that on there. You can buy a license. You can check the sunrise and sunset. It's got fishing regulations, hunting regulations, your boat info, what kind of stuff you need on your boat to be legal there. It's just a great app. And you can have a bunch of different licenses on your phone. So you can carry your whole family's license.
I do that. I have my wife. My daughter is 18 now, so I have her licenses in there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And to me, I don't really think that FWC gets a lot of shade thrown at it. Like, it seems to be a pretty well-respected organization.
I think they do things pretty well.
That's how I feel about them. Mm-hmm. This app is a strong, strong app. Like, it does everything. It almost takes the excuse away from you.
Absolutely.
Like, you download this app, there's no reason for you to have the wrong species in your boat. There's no reason for you to be over limit. There's no reason for you to not have your license. It takes all the idiot work out of it.
Yeah, ignorance is not it doesn't hold up in court.
Really smart. And they also, I was happy when I first got this app, I think it was last season, I was a little worried because, you know, I get checked several times a year. I'm out on the water a lot. Mm-hmm. I was a little worried that I was going to have my license only on there and get some heck because I didn't have the hard copy. Absolutely not. Their officers have been trained. Oh yeah, we're familiar with that. No problem. Check it right off. And, you know, I had myself, my daughter, my wife on there, and they sailed us right through.
So, yeah, I haven't been checked with the app yet, but that's good to know that they're all about it.
My last one is a new one that I used last year. It's from Moat Marine. And I think the name of the app is Citizen Science. In fact, I'm sure that's the name of it, Citizen Science. And what it does is it's a red tide collection app.
Okay.
So if you're out fishing and you come across red tides, you go into the app and using the GIS overlay, it records your location. And so Moat Marine is able to monitor red tide in real time. I'm talking about it here because I'd love for more people to use it because it becomes super useful to me because of where we fish. You know, I'll cover a lot of ground in tarpon season or late summer, you know, the tarpon move back into the rivers and stuff. You being able to get that information and have it as accurate as possible beyond the weekly emails that come out from FWC. This app has a lot of usefulness for us. So,
well, yeah, the more people that use it, the more accurate it's going to be.
Exactly.
So, you know,
if you're out, you see red tide, you click the button. I mean, it literally is like you have to register, and I think it takes 30 seconds to register.
Yeah.
It's not like some in-depth thing where you have to sign over your firstborn child and put in, you know, 19 social security numbers and a credit card number. It's really, it took 2 seconds to do. So,
good deal. Yeah, I'm going to have to get that one.
Yeah, I used it this past summer, and I didn't see a whole lot of results from it, but I feel like it's one of those things I'm going to participate in because I think it can be really beneficial for all of us.
Yeah, agreed.
Let me say this while we're finishing up apps. I'm not a fan. I'm a little scared of apps where I put in my catches.
Oh, yeah. No, because I don't like those.
I have enough of an IT background to know that somebody somewhere has got a database with everyone's catches sitting on it.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not going to call them out by names, but I'm just saying I'm not going to put my information in there and let other people have access to it.
Yeah.
But I will share with them where I find red tide.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah.
So is that, that's all the apps I've got.
That's all the apps I got.
Okay. Let us know, like I said, in the comments online or send us a message or whatever and let us know what we missed, what apps you guys use that you love that you'd like to hear us review or talk about or anything else in the future. Flipping the coin a little bit, when we start talking about ideas for tech in the outdoors, obviously apps are a big part of that.
Right.
But we've had so many advances in technology with what I would term gadgets.
Yes, we have.
Even over, like I keep using the, in my mind, 2000, year 2000.
Yeah.
Like, what did hunting or fishing look like in the year 2000 compared to what it looks like now? We've each, I think, chosen 4 or 5 of these that we're gonna wander through and just talk about some of our favorite gadgets and technology that we see.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Since I go first, I get first pick, right?
Okay, yeah, that's right.
And I'm going to go with power pole.
Solid.
I mean, 15 years ago, my job when I was fishing, I didn't have my captain's license 15 years ago. I got it 12 years ago, but my job when I was fishing is anchor guy, right?
Absolutely.
Especially we grew up fishing with our dads and everything. Yep. Like you're up there on the front of the boat throwing the anchor. Didn't matter if you're fishing in 3 feet of water or 50 feet of water.
You had
the guy
to pull out the anchor. Yep.
Yeah. Power pole. I don't even know if I have an anchor in my boat anymore. I'm sure I do because I think I'm required to by law or something. But
right.
Let's be honest. I ain't using it.
No. Yeah.
I'm pushing a button and making those suckers go down.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a absolutely game changer.
It really is. I mean, it totally changed the game for shallow water fishing. And now they've got them up to 10 feet.
Yeah.
And you can anchor pretty safely in about 8.5 or 9 feet of water with those things.
You can do 2, which was never thought of.
Oh, you know, 5 or 6 just hold your boat just as still as you possibly can in the highest winds and highest tides you can imagine.
Yep. You can adjust the sensitivity of them, make them go up and down faster, and they'll dig deeper,
yep,
depending on the muck or the shale or whatever you're in.
I mean, it's a total game changer for any type of just fishing, period. Yeah.
It's one of the great advancements I mean, the other thing that was kind of weird is when they first came out, you saw one, you're like, well, that's weird. Who needs that? That's what you kind of thought, right?
And then, like, you got one and you're like,
I got an anchor. I'm fine.
How can I live without this thing?
Yeah. And then you need two.
Right.
And now you go to the marina, you roll up to the marina on Saturday.
Everybody's
afternoon.
Got one.
Every boat that goes in there.
Even all the bass guys now have them.
All the bass guys have two.
Yes.
And P.S. That's one of the funniest things to me is, like, you watch the FLW or whatever fishing Lake Gunnersville.
And it's 100 feet of water.
Yeah. It's like 75 feet deep and they're throwing crankbaits at 45 feet and they got two power poles on the back of the boat. I'm like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they're really cool. That's number one.
I would agree with you. That's probably the number one gadget in the last 15 years.
But I think I know where you're going to go. And number two is a strong choice.
Yeah, so number two, along the same lines, is the GPS anchor, or the GPS trolling motor.
Yep.
So, like, Minn Kota iPilots, Motor Guide.
Rodan.
The Rodan, yeah. These things have really changed the game because you can... It's wireless. All is wireless, and you don't have to touch it with your hand. You don't have to turn it with your hand. It's all on a remote, and you can set routes.
Yep,
and then go
based
to that
off
spot
a depth or based off a GPS track or
right.
whatever.
And you can, like, track this route, and then the next time you go back,
it'll follow
you can just
it.
Say go that way, and it'll follow exactly the way you did it.
It's amazing.
And then you hit the anchor button, and your boat sits right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate about which one has the most accurate anchor.
Yes.
I don't have one of these yet. I know you guys ran a boat for a while that did have
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we did.
On.
Yeah, there was one.
And that was really cool because you had a power pole in the back and that on the front, and so you could anchor off both ends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It didn't always work exactly like that, but it did work a few times. It actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I would love to have one of these just because I think it'd be so cool for fishing in deeper water.
Yes.
I mean, it's the power pole for everywhere, right?
Exactly.
Now, I do have a little bit of a thing where I think they maybe turn fish off in shallow water.
Because they're, like, loud.
And
they move a lot.
One of the things I've always heard is that variances in trolling motor speed will affect fish more than a steady frequency.
Okay.
So if you're changing speeds a lot, it affects the fishing more than just a single solid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So this would seem to be one of those things.
Yep.
All right. For my second one, this is a brand new product. They just announced it at ICAST. It's the PowerPole Vision. I'm going back to the PowerPole brand.
Yeah, you're going hard with PowerPole right now.
Yeah, if they want to send us one to the show, we'll be glad to install it and talk about it. And
we can give a review. Yeah.
We'll use it. We'll put it through the paces. We can run charters with it, whatever. You know, PowerPole, we're just here to help.
Yeah.
Guys.
R&D.
Have you seen this thing?
I've seen some videos about it.
It's like a touch screen. It's almost like...
It's like a command center for your entire boat.
Have you been in one of the new F-150s, like the new Fords that have the cool touch screen interface and all that stuff?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. It's like they've put that into a boat. And it's how innovative is that, right?
It's incredible, yeah.
And you can hook up your trim tabs. You can hook up your power poles, obviously. You can hook up your jack plate.
Lights,
pumps, anything you can hook up to... This touchscreen control that, praise the Lord, you can see with polarized sunglasses.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that was always one of my pet peeves back in the day with my Hummingbird. But have you seen the charge portion of it? They're calling it the charge. I think it's a different product, but it interacts with vision.
Oh, you can tell how much your batteries are charged and stuff like that.
Beyond that, it's bidirectional, and it will balance out your battery loads.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is like...
This is next level stuff.
This is witchcraft.
PowerPole is living in the year 3017 right now.
PowerPole is living their best life in my boat.
Yes.
And I love it.
Yes.
I love them for it. I want to just take all my money and give it to PowerPole.
Yeah. The days of analog switches are
done. Who's touching buttons anymore?
No one.
I'm not this guy.
Everybody's touching screens right now.
I'm not there. I don't think this product's actually out yet, but this is a game changer. Like I said, it was at ICAST this past year.
Yep.
It's got to be getting close to release. So I think there's part of me that says this is like the power pole. Who needs that on their boat?
Right.
But in 5 years, we're all going to be like, dude, how did we live without this? Like, this is like... But at that point, I think power pole is going to come out with a new product where you think about something and it just happens.
It happens. They implant some chip in your brain.
They implant a chip in your brain. You think,
maybe we should anchor here and then... It goes
or the next level would be a school of redfish should come by and it just materializes.
Yeah. Get to play God a little bit.
They should be hungry now. So what do you got next?
All right. My next one is more of a hunting product, but it's trail cameras. These things over the last 15 years have changed the game in hunting.
Scouting.
Scouting, hunting. I mean, just anything. Like, Even people use them for security cameras now.
Yeah.
Because most of them don't have flashes. They have infrared flash. And so you can't really see them. But they're so fast and they take such great pictures. And a lot of them now are like 8, 10 megapixels. I mean, it's like a dang Nikon taking pictures.
Strapped to a tree in a rainstorm.
Right, in the woods. And they're just amazing. And, you know, they've really, really.
I knew hunting cameras were here to stay with my 70-year-old, 65-year-old dad. Was like, oh yeah, I got a couple hunting cams I'm putting on. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? I'm like, this old Florida cracker is out using hunting cams.
Yeah.
But they really have. They've given people the ability, particularly the working class guy, right? Who can't be in the woods day in, day out.
Exactly.
He's now got the advantage that he can kind of keep an eye on what's going on.
Well, and they range anywhere from like $40 up to like $600. And so anybody basically can afford one. And some of them now are actually integrated into your cell service.
Yeah.
So when it takes a picture, it sends a text back to you. That says, hey, you got a big buck on your camera right now.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should go get in the stand. It's like ridiculous.
Listen, I'm going to speak on behalf of the show here from an altruistic position.
Okay.
If anyone out there has one of those cameras that will send a text of a big buck, Nathan and I would like to see how that works. If you could just put our numbers in.
Yeah.
And give us the location of that camera.
Right. GPS coordinates would be nice.
It'll be fine. We just would like to test the technology out and understand it.
Yeah.
Nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
So my next one's also hunting related. This was a game changer from a tech standpoint. That's motion decoys.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly ducks. I'm a waterfowl guy. I'm not a deer guy, but I'm a waterfowl guy. I don't understand how we did it without motion decoys. Mojos. I always laugh when I say this because I'm an 11-year-old boy at heart, but the Higdon Pulsator.
Okay.
Okay. That's one of my favorite decoy names of all time. But it's this little thing that splashes all around and it's got a bilge pump in it. And
yeah. I mean, some of the earlier ones were just like
wobble ducks.
Yeah. There was like a hollow body decoy and you stuck a little.
You stuck a wobble magnet
in it and it just created ripples.
Yep.
And then the Mojo came out where there's actually flapping wings.
Spinning wings.
And now they have some that actually swim your decoys around.
Now they have, I have one of the ones that swims your decoys around. Nice. But now they also have a Mojo that doesn't spin the wings. It's not Mojo, I forget the brand, but it actually flaps wings. So it looks like a Canada goose or a mallard.
Flapping in your decoys.
So there's none of the spinning anymore. It was a game changer. We've teased each other about this before, and sure, I like Mojos. I also think they get overused and late in the season, particularly in Florida, our ducks get super spooky because they've been shot at for 15 states in Canada.
Right.
So they're not wanting to come into decoys anymore. Less is more. But early in the season, a Mojo is a deadly thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so really was a game changer for us.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So from a tech perspective, I had to put those in.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What do you got?
All right, my next one is like electronic range finders.
Okay.
So for like...
This is a big game type deal, right?
Yeah, big game mostly. You know, for bow hunting, most people use them for bow hunting. But there's a lot of rifle guys doing some long distance stuff that use them. For like angle comp, they have angle compensation now. So if you're at a steep downward angle or steep upward angle, it'll tell you the true distance and the distance you need to aim for.
Really?
To actually hit that spot. And these have really... This is a great tech because it made people more accurate,
right?
With their shots,
you end up with less wounded animals, better kills,
right?
What I'd like to see in that arena is more like a CENTCOM type thing, where I use that to send the coordinates to somebody else who launches a missile in and shoots the deer.
Okay, yeah.
Not because I'm worried about shooting him, just because I'm really bad with a bow. Like I would miss him even with the rangefinder. So until it could pull the string for me, we're going to have some issues.
Okay. Yeah. No, I got it. That's fine.
I just like
shoot
to be able
a
to
missile.
Yeah. I'd like to be able to send the coordinates to someone else who could then launch it.
Yeah. You know, like a tomahawk.
Yeah. Something to that effect. Some
tomahawk missile. All right. What's your next one?
All right. My next one. I can't believe you haven't gone here. This is the OG. This is the GOAT. The GoPro camera.
Of course.
That's a game changer, man.
It is.
For me, as an Instagram guy, like I've got a big following on Instagram, I attribute a lot of it to stuff I was able to take with a GoPro because I was able to use the GoPro, set it up in creative positions, action cams in general, and get some really cool shots of either ducks in flight coming in decoying, the shot as it happens, or a fish hitting, striking, jumping.
Right.
Just the whole gamut, stuff that 15, 20 years ago would have never even entered my mind to be able to capture
this. You know, you can stick them anywhere. You can put them on your head. You can put them on your gun. You can put them on your chest. I mean, you can put them, you can clamp them to your boat.
We did a hunt last year. I clamped one in a mangrove tree above the blind where we were.
That's right.
And got some crazy great footage of
really
a gajillion ducks coming into the decoys and the shooting and everything. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a total game changer. Great way to document your hunts, to share with friends and family.
And we didn't call out drones specifically because neither one of us are drone guys.
No, I'm not a drone guy. And a lot of drones are illegal in a lot of states for hunting.
Yeah.
So
but
you got to be careful
with that.
But
still a game changer for the photography aspects of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
Else.
Yeah, production aspect. All right.
What's the last one?
My last one is lighted nocks. So lighted arrow nocks for bow hunting.
That's not real.
It's a real thing. There are several brands. Nocturnal, Luminoc, those are the two most popular probably.
Because those are the only two puns you could make off the word knock.
Yeah. So what these are, you replace the stock.
The knock is the notch on the arrow.
Right, the notch on the arrow that you hook on the string.
I'm not an archery guy, my dad is.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. So yeah, the knock on the arrow is what you actually hook the arrow to the string with. And you take off the one that comes with the arrow and you put on these lighted ones. And when you shoot the bow, the light lights up on the back of your arrow. And so you can see where your arrow
like
goes.
Like a tracer round.
Like a tracer round, sort of. And so even you know, for
I
hunting.
I play Call of Duty. I know about this stuff.
Yeah. So for hunting, when you shoot that deer or that hog, you can see right where your arrow hit the animal. So you know how long to wait, if you wait at all. You know. So it actually helps recover game a lot of times because before, if you couldn't see your arrow where it hit, you kind of had to like guess about. You had to get a look at the blood and stuff like that. But now it's like, if you know you smoked them, you smoked them.
Right.
And so you can go down and get right on the blood trail if you want to. So it's a great invention.
That's pretty cool. I need to see that.
Yeah, it's a lot of, it's really cool.
Could you bring one of those next week and we shoot it across the studio at an apple on Emily's
head?
Yes,
yes.
With the knock
absolutely.
Lit up?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll video it and put it on Instagram.
I'm going to knock you out.
Ah, there's another knock pun right there.
It's time for keep and release.
All right, Trav, what are you releasing this week?
This has been a couple weeks coming for release. I've had some other things weighing more heavily on my heart.
Okay.
This hurts me. Okay, this hurts me to say. I'm turning loose a Banded Waders.
Really?
Banded brand waders. Let me preface this by saying it.
Okay.
Most comfortable waders I've ever worn by far. They leak.
Ugh.
And they leak quickly. Like, you can't even get a season out of them. They
really?
Yeah. And this is a known thing. And the warranty is not very good. They're $300, these waders are.
Yeah, that's expensive.
That hurts my heart. Like, when I step out of the boat and my socks get wet at 4:30 in the morning. I can't do it anymore. They're fantastic waders. Like, they're so comfortable. You could wear them in the car on the way to the duck hunt. You wear them on the car all the way home, and it's like you're wearing pants. Like, they're movable, they're breathable.
Right.
But they don't do the one thing they have to do, which is keep water on the outside of your pants.
Yeah, you think they'd get that right first, right?
Right. We can't really call them waders anymore.
They're more pants.
They're more pants.
Yeah.
And so, in that case, I'd rather wear different pants.
Yeah.
If we're going to
get
wet,
yeah.
I'll just wear a bathing suit.
I got you.
So, I hate it, but I'm doing it. I'm turning loose the Banded Waders.
Yeah, I hear you.
What do you got? What are you turning loose?
My release this week are the Sims Sun Sleeves. Have you seen these?
I'm so glad you're doing this.
Because, look.
And I love Sims. I love Sims.
It's a great company. Great brand. They make great products.
But
we're not knocking on Sims specifically. We're knocking on this one product that someone didn't think through when they came out with it. So
go ahead.
So these things are sleeves that you put on your arms. If you're wearing a long sleeve, a short sleeve shirt.
Yes.
That protects your arms from the sun. It's a real thing.
So
you look like Allen Iverson out there on the water.
Yeah.
With those sleeves on your arms.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant.
And I'm like.
Kobe Bryant after he has like tendonitis surgery or something.
Right. And I'm looking at the website here and most of them are the camo, like fish camo.
Yeah. So you wear a short sleeve shirt fishing. And then you put this on to give you some sun protection while you're fishing. When you could have just bought.
Sunscreen or worn a long sleeve shirt.
Are you on Sims website right now?
I am.
How much is a short sleeve UPF shirt?
Okay. So one sleeve is $34.95.
Okay. So to do both arms, I'm at $68.
Yes.
Okay. How much is a regular long sleeve?
So a regular long sleeve fishing shirt is $79.95 from Sims.
Okay. So, and that's like a collared long sleeve.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, Columbia type.
So I can buy $68 worth of sleeves,
or spend $12 more and buy a long sleeve shirt, a nice one that you can wear out and not just fishing.
Because the sun protection is not going to do me much good if I just wear the sleeves.
Right. Yeah, if you just got the sleeves on and no shirt,
that's like a reverse farmer tan, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you're trying to even that out. Maybe that's where Sims is going.
Maybe. I don't know. So I am definitely releasing the Sims sun sleeves.
Love it. I'm out on that. I'm out on that with you.
Yeah.
Like that's absurd. It's ridiculous. I didn't realize such a thing was a thing.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. Keep this week. I'm going old school.
Okay.
We didn't have power a couple weeks ago, and so I picked up a book to read.
Okay.
Because we didn't have any electricity. So yeah. I had a bunch of books on my iPad. And one of the ones I grabbed was Gene Hill. Do you know Gene Hill?
I've heard the name.
He used to be a columnist for like Field and Stream or Outdoor Life, or really well-known guy back in the 40s and 50s. And the book I picked up was a Hunter's Fireside book.
Interesting.
And guys, look, what we do today is not outdoor literature. Like I freelance, right?
Right.
And I love to write richer stuff if I can. Gene Hill dude's the GOAT.
Really?
Like, yeah, it begins and ends with him. And you and I have talked about books before, like Capstick or stuff like that. Rourke or Gene Hill is the bomb. So I encourage any of you guys, if you're looking for something, you're going into hunting season, you're going into winter. I mean, he's primarily a hunting and firearms guy, but everything's 2 or 3 pages long, so it's great. You can pick it up and read one before bed or whatever. It's just incredible. He writes a lot about hunting dogs. He writes a lot about hunting with relatives, old men, kids, whatever. It's just really, really good stuff. Mm-hmm. And stuff we need in this day and age, like stuff we're losing.
Yeah.
So check out Gene Hill, a Hunter's Fireside book. I promise you, sit by the fire, you get home from a hunt this season, pour you a Yeti lowball full of scotch.
There you go.
Sip it and have your lab laying at your feet or your pointer by your feet, and you will thank me for that.
I'm definitely going to have to check that one out.
All right. What are you keeping?
All right. I'm keeping Ducks Unlimited wallpapers for your phone.
Okay.
They came out with them a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
And kind of in preparation for duck season. And I've got a teal picture on my phone.
Oh, that's big time.
And it's
that's
just
big time, dude.
Beautiful picture. It's got the Ducks Unlimited logo on it, and they're free. You can just, you know, save them to your phone and put them as your wallpaper.
I forget. I want to say I read where I think they're using Ted Wells or Matt Stagner. They're using one of the real well-known photographers that's doing the
Michael, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Kleinworth Think.
Okay. An Instagram guy like myself, there's some really good waterfowl photographers out there that just blow the casual iPhone guy out of the water. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah, right, absolutely. These are professional quality photos. And there's several species. They got like wood ducks, they got some mallards, they got some geese, I think, and a couple of dog pictures. They're really cool. So go check them out. Kind of gets you geared
like a little
up.
A vacation every day at your office when you glance down at your phone, it'll remind you of what's really important.
That's right.
Hunting
ducks.
That's
exactly right.
William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will.
Super Bowl or the World Series, Travis?
All right. I think I'd be torn on this question, but with all the protest stuff and everything in the NFL, I'm out on the NFL. And I'm a baseball guy, and I'm a diehard Cubs guy.
Right.
So I'm a World Series guy.
I'm pretty tired about this whole NFL thing. Like, I'm just tired of talking about it, hearing about it. So I'm going to go Super Bowl because it's kind of just out of my head now. And I like football better than baseball. And I like the Super Bowl. I like the commercials because they're always fun.
Yeah.
Next up, how about Miami or Georgia Tech?
I'm a Hurricane guy. I do know that Mark Richt has always had some trouble with Georgia Tech historically.
This is true.
But I'm going Miami.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Miami too. Georgia Tech loves that
wishbone
triple option thing. It gives people trouble, but they usually figure it out by the end of the game and just.
Yeah, don't sleep on Miami. Miami's having a decent year under the radar.
How about the Gators versus Texas A&M?
Texas A&M is not in a good place. And the Gators have set college football back about 500 years in offense. Gosh.
It's so bad.
Again, Cast and Blast Florida show. So I'm going to pick Florida. I'm sure we got a lot of Gator fans listening in. I'm picking Florida. I have no confidence. This is the kind of game where like both teams could lose and I would not be shocked.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm going to pick A&M because I think they've got a little bit higher powered offense.
Okay.
I just think, you know, Florida's got to get beat at some point. And this is probably the game.
Okay. That's fair.
So
they got Georgia coming in a couple weeks. I think that's going to be the game.
That will probably be the game.
That wraps up this week's segment. Thanks for listening to the 2 Minute Whale.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, the best thing to happen to Tuesdays since tacos. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. That's me. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.